Hey, my name is Nick Oakes, and I'm the president and founder of the Hawaii chapter of the Proud Boys.
How would you describe your group, the Proud Boys?
We are a social club, a fraternity, and we are right-wing leaning. We're right-wing.
Uh-huh.
The only thing you have to do to become a Proud Boy is declare yourself to be a proud Western chauvinist, which is pretty simple.
Oh, it is? A Western chauvinist. Okay, what's that?
That's not a male chauvinist, as sometimes confused. It's just to say that we think Western culture is the best, and we need make no apology for that.
What is Western culture, then?
Western culture, the first world.
I thought first world was like an economic designation. How do you see it? What do you mean? Who is that, anyway?
America, first and foremost. We're an American chapter. We think this is the greatest country on earth.
United States.
Canada, Western Europe, yeah.
Canada, U.S., and Western Europe?
Western values. It's not by nation specifically. You understand?
Oh, okay.
Sort of Enlightenment values, things of that nature.
Oh, like the Enlightenment that we all... take us the that was kind of a humanistic period, though, right?
Sure.
Uh-huh. I'm trying to zero in on what the Western, if it's not geographic, I'm just trying to...
Yeah, what is geographic to an extent? Japan is not part of the Western world, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, but they share so many of the same values and everything and, you know, economic system and stuff. I'm just wondering how they're not, since it's, if... It is somewhat geographical, though,
sure,
you said.
Sure, somewhat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are some of the Western cultural values that you think are
Western cultural values? When you pick up a book on history, I think it's fair to say that Western history would be most of that book, right? Now, maybe that's because we live in the West, but overall, we've contributed and made the world what it is through inventing most things. Through working hard, right, and spreading our values over the world.
I just run into so many Chinese people who think everything was invented there, you know what I mean?
Well, the Chinese have gunpowder. They got a couple big ones, absolutely.
Noodles.
Right. The Western, let's not overcomplicate this. What's today's big controversy? The president is in trouble for, I know you have polite listeners, calling certain parts of the world crap holes, specifically Haiti, right? Okay.
Africa.
And Africa, sure. We'll include it. Objectively, these countries do not have anywhere near the standard of living that countries in the West do. We all agree on this, right? Okay, this is what we're talking about. Everyone agrees that Haiti is a crap hole. Everyone.
Really?
I think so. I think Americans know it. You know it. I know it. The president knows it. And believe it or not, the Haitians know it. They do not have the things we enjoy here in America. They don't.
Therefore,
we're doing it better. So when the president speaks in crass terms and calls it what he did, or allegedly did, then we are not shocked, right? People like the Proud Boys, we're like, eh, sounds about right. But other people, I think, will feign offense to these things and pretend not to know what he's talking about. But it's Haiti.
Uh-huh. What good does it do to call them a shithole?
Well, I think speaking honestly is just speaking honestly. And the fact that a controversy erupts from that is why we exist.
Oh, I see. Wait a minute. So you're trying to... So you need to paint me the reality, the full picture of the reality that that's
sure.
a part of. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So the president said... He would like to see more immigrants from a place like, I believe the example he used was Denmark, right? As opposed to Haiti.
Norway,
sure. Some northern European country with a high standard of living and income and education, right? That sounds pretty good to me.
I guess it was that... It sounds racist.
Oh, how so?
You think that his comments are just based on economic performance?
Sure. because that's something that Haiti certainly lacks. Should any immigrant from anywhere with education, prospects, and a huge desire to live in the U.S. come here, I totally support that. We like them. But they have to bring something to offer to this country. And realistically, you're not going to get as much of that from Haiti as you are from Denmark, because Haiti has about a 60% literacy rate. These are simple realities.
Sorry, I'm feeling you're a little off the mic here. I really
sure,
want you to
sound a bit better. You know. Right.
Okay, there we go. That sounds good. You know what? When I heard that remark from the president, I thought that it was kind of crazy to start asking, did he really say it or did he really not say it? Because the real thing is that we should start dealing with what if he really thinks that?
Everyone thinks that. Everyone knows Haiti's a shithole. That is not a controversial statement.
How does that mean we should act toward them?
We should, I don't see how it affects us. It's another country. It's really not our problem. If we're getting a mass immigration from these shithole countries, then that is something to acknowledge, isn't it?
Well, we allowed them to come in to alleviate suffering in their country.
Right. There's going to be a lot of suffering in the world, though. And I don't think it's necessarily America's responsibility to absorb all of it.
Would you feel different about Haitians living in the U.S.?
If they're legal citizens, then that's perfect, you know. I hope they enjoy it here. If they are Haitian citizens living in the U.S., then they should either be seeking immigration or seeking a way back to Haiti.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Seeking a legal status, I mean,
yeah,
citizenship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's pragmatic, but it's also fairly simple. We should have a standard for immigration. There's no reason America should be unique in not enforcing basic immigration law. There's people calling for no borders, period, at universities. But they're not the people that are going to be affected by mass immigration. And it's not an insane thing to say that mass immigration is a big issue in America.
We know it is, and we know the that important sectors of the economy rely on immigrant labor.
But they should be relying on U.S. citizen labor.
I think the problem that's been, you know, found there is that it's hard to get Americans to take some of these jobs.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that, to be honest with you. I hear that. Oh, I've never met anybody that would work these jobs and is American. But I've worked these jobs. I've worked in kitchens with illegals, farm work, all of this. It's not that uncommon, and it used to be very normal. But since the 80s, when we've had real mass immigration, that's when it switched, right? There's really no reason that Americans can't do these jobs. These are available for Americans. Agriculture will be more mechanized in the future. Minus the cheap and exploited third world labor that we're bringing in. Yeah, that's true. That's better for America. Really, it's not out of meanness or hate or anything else. The fact is, it's not good for the people that are coming here and being forced to work in terrible conditions to send whatever little money they can make back to their home country. That's not what I like to see in America. We're just using these people. And it's working for very wealthy Americans. It's not working for the immigrants. It's not working for working class Americans. It's not really good for anybody except, you know, call it the 1%.
Does Proud Boys have, like, an economic idea of how the U.S. should work?
Yeah, we're doing quite well, I think, with the Trump years. He's giving us everything we want. We've got tax reform. We're looking at real immigration reform, a wall, these kind of things. We're enthused.
Do you like that? You know, there was... Are you enrolled at University of Hawaii?
I am.
Are you in undergraduate or graduate?
I'm an undergrad.
Undergrad. Mm-hmm. What's your major?
Journalism.
Oh, cool. All right. We need more journalists in this world. So you're not affected as a grad student, but it was surprising to see a section about grad students in the recent tax bill that you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. I mean, would that be something you'd be in favor of? That, you know.
Oh, look, I'm in favor of anything that starts to put the crunch on higher education. Yes, I'm going to college. Since I've been there, I have not been impressed with what I've seen. The culture in academia is really way beyond what people know as far as just outright off-the-edge leftism. It's insane. Now, I came from the Marine Corps, so it's a very different environment. But the first day in my first class here at UH, the first question posed to me, and this is in the English department, nothing crazy, is what I like to be called he, she, or Z, X-E. And there's no way the teacher could tell by looking at me. People have lost touch with reality at these places. So when I hear things like, yes, the higher education system is not going to get so much free money from the government, then I rejoice a little inside.
Was it the Marines that brought you here?
It was, yeah. I didn't come to Hawaii by choice, but I've lingered. I'm no longer in the Marine Corps.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. When'd you come here?
I've been here about 5 years.
Yeah. Oh, that's kind of cool you decided to go to school here. Huh.
I'm using the GI Bill. A lot of guys don't, but I think it's a really good deal for veterans. And if you have GI benefits and you're not using them, then please do.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so, I mean, was it anything like your experience in your classes that made you want to form a Proud Boys chapter?
Yeah, absolutely. The anti-Western propaganda is so thick, anti-American, anti-military. And I know Hawaii is especially bad because we have a real activist movement here. But there's schools that are known for it, you know, Berkeley, whatever. I've been there. The culture has grown out of control. I mean, the things I get called, I walk around campus as founder of the Proud Boys. Now, people sneak around and take my picture. It's really insane. I'm not asking for a safe space, but to be allowed to just be normal would be nice. It's a really strange thing to speak up in any conservative sense at all in these colleges. It doesn't exist among the faculty, not in the social sciences anyway, right? And the students feel it. I talk to conservative students who do not want to be out about who they are because they fear repercussions. Grades in class, that certainly happened to me when I was there. I'd get counted off massively in my papers in that same English class, you know, among others, because the teacher would make things very political. I remember there was an extra credit given to go see a Black Panther speak, and all the writings kind of followed this trend. So, of course, I'm going to speak honestly. I'm a decent writer, I'll say that. I'm decent in English. My grades didn't reflect it in that class. The girl next to me, who hid her beliefs, but would write papers in praise of Black Lives Matter, would get A's, and she would laugh and tell me in private that she knew what she was writing was not A work, but she knew she was going to get an A, and then she would. Now, that's just one example, but it's really the environment all over these classes. And you go to this, something like the Women's Studies Department or these... any sort of ethnic studies class, and it's so far out of control. It's really shocking to people who haven't been to a college recently.
Huh. It's shocking in what way?
I mean, it's like a Breitbart article comment section. You think this is exaggerated internet stuff when you see these videos of safe spaces and people screaming about anything, and then you actually go to college and like, no, it's as bad as they say.
Well, I haven't heard it's bad. In what way is it bad?
Let me give you an example. I once went to see an anti-Trump art exhibit at UH that involved a large piece of paper on the wall that you could scribble on and then scream at the top of your lungs in rage about Trump. And they brought in a puppy to pet to keep nerves calm. This is close to the election, but this kind of thing is astounding to me. Like, this makes the rounds on conservative media all the time, these examples, but it's real. It happens, unfortunately, a lot. And when you come and see people behave this way from what I regarded as a normal life before, It will sour your mood in higher education. Yes, it will.
Hmm. So, but somehow in these classes, you can find other people who, you know, are also offended by the classroom.
Yeah, once I became open, during the Trump campaign.
Oh, were you a co-chair of the Trump campaign?
Yes. So I did some campaigning at the school with a, you know, I put a table out with a Trump flag, and I wrote an article in the school paper in support of Trump, all this stuff. So I became pretty obvious pretty quick. And that's when people really first picked up on my personality. And then kids would come out of the woodwork and say, like, oh, you know, I never told anybody this before, but damn, go Trump. And other people didn't respond quite so positively. But that's, yeah, that's what led me to forming this chapter. And the guys that come know that they're in this environment of just thick leftism, and they're grateful to just have some guys they can drink with and joke with and not feel like they're going to be judged or, you know, overheard and slandered against. It's a sad thing.
What do they have to do to join? I mean,
it's very simple. You just declare yourself to be a proud Western chauvinist and, you know, talk to us. We're going to make sure you're not a nut job or something. But really, there's only one rule. The West is the best.
I feel like I just don't really understand everything I'd be signing on for. What if I agreed to that?
You don't have to agree on anything. You don't have to support the president to be a Proud Boy. It would be very odd if you didn't. To my knowledge, all of us do. But Western values, we're all about it.
Because I thought Western values were like inclusion and diversity and that kind of stuff.
We're super diverse. When we sit down together, we look like a community college recruiting poster.
I know. I saw pictures of you all. How does that work? I mean, you know, these guys are not all of Western ethnicity.
It doesn't matter. It's Western culture. You don't have to be a color to enjoy it, benefit from it. Absolutely not.
But you got to be.
Entrepreneurs, strong families. These are all things we can get behind. We consider this to be Western values. A bit of tradition, you know what I mean? You don't have to be religious to be among us. I'm personally not religious. I'd say most of us are. I'd say you should definitely value the role that religion has made, especially, you know, the Christian religion in forming the West. It's not separate.
How would you differentiate yourself from the alt-right?
The alt-right hates us. We are not eligible to be part of the alt-right.
Why?
Well, the alt-right is into racial politics, yeah? Okay, that's what the word means. My wife is black, so to the alt-right, that's worse than being black. Like, I'm not invited to the party. You understand? They're not all about race mixing. It's kind of a big thing with them. So we're very different than the alt-right.
But Proud Boys are often confused and just lumped in with them, you know. You've seen
that,
right?
Yeah, I don't think we're confused as often as disingenuously slandered.
Oh, really?
With a minimum of research. You want to try an experiment? Make some fake internet name, go to any alt-right message board or website and ask about the Proud Boys. And you just see what response you get. It will not be positive.
Hmm. So where do they think Proud Boys go wrong?
We say that, like I just told you, you can be a fine American of any color. Western values can work for you. We look like a pretty mixed bag of nuts. That's not their thing.
Hmm. But women aren't allowed, though.
No, it's a men's club.
Oh,
I mean, back in the day, there were a lot of men's clubs, right? Before the 80s, we're doing it again.
What's that like, anyway?
It's a good time. You get away from the wives, the girlfriends, you drink with the boys. It's fine. And it used to be really a big part of society, I think. Maybe it was just a bowling club or whatever, but that's really, really gone away. And I think men should be able to have time to just be around each other, because having a woman in the group changes the dynamic. It does. You don't have the same jokes. You don't have the same back and forth. We do.
Kind of sounds like fun.
We have a good time. We are not so much an activist group as a social club. Now, If the left comes out and protests something especially stupid, we may show up with signs that are funnier than theirs and make fun of them to their face. That's part of what we do sometimes, and I think it's a lot of fun. Daily, it's not really our deal.
Mm. Yeah, I remember, I think you were at the Aloha Aina March, maybe in November, and some others.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, uh-huh.
We've got some groups here, and we're the only people on island that are visible doing any of this, so I think the leftist groups have a special fascination with us. We'll probably continue to make fun of them. Yeah.
Well, do you feel kind of alone, though?
Not really. I mean, we're the only group. Yeah, we're alone in that sense. People like us.
Really? You think there's...
I hear it all the time, yeah. I saw you boys on TV, whatever. Somebody's standing up for it.
Huh. You think there might be a lot more support out there?
Oh, of course. Not everyone in Hawaii wants to look like California Junior. No. Traditional values are big here. There's a lot of traditional people.
But that would be traditional Hawaiian, though.
Hawaiian, Filipino, Japanese. A lot of these people are naturally conservative.
In terms of what?
Family values type thing.
You mean abortion rights? Or?
Sure, I think a lot of them are actually against abortion.
Uh-huh. And what else? How about sexuality?
Yeah, they may be a bit behind the social curve on accepting sexual choices. Yeah, that's probably true. Anyway, that's not really what we're about. We're the libertarian type of right. Gay rights, all this, it's not our deal. Question, do you want to be gay? Then that's not something Proud Boys is ever going to give you a hard time about. We have gay Proud Boys. They're totally welcome. Again, we're not all right.
You know, often what I see is like almost a two faces of an organization where the one side will be very socially acceptable, and yet the other side, maybe often captured, you know, on the internet, is much more clubby and actually has a lot more possibly objectionable stuff going on there.
Sure. I don't think we suffer from that as much as you might think. Now, you can go to our Facebook page and get some, I don't know, pretty spicy jokes, but that's what they are. We have a sense of humor, and it's not PC, right? But I don't think there's anything that's truly demeaning, you know, to really anybody on Earth, except leftists. We go pretty hard on leftists, and we're never going to be friendly to them. But as far as ethnically or anything like that, that people try to make a point to us, no.
What are the things about the what are some leftist beliefs that you just think are so worthless?
A lot of this comes down to personality, honestly. So one thing I do are street interviews, where I'll go to, say, a leftist event, and they'll be protesting whatever, and I'll ask them questions about it, and then they'll say ridiculous things, and it works on the internet, right? So I was doing this recently at the... Yeah, this is the November 4th rally that the Revolutionary Communists put on. This is much hyped up. November 4th, something's happening.
Where?
This happened in a public park. Mm. But for months, they just posted everywhere, you know, worldwide. November 4th, it's happening. What's it? You'll find out. So we went to find out. In their case, it was a poetry reading and a few speakers. I was underwhelmed, but I did my interviews. Now, I do them live, and I have no chance to edit, because I think that's fair. I think it's more entertaining that way. So this last week, somebody sent me an interesting clip where the leftist I had interviewed there accused me of editing their stuff, which I've never done because it's live and it's physically impossible, and making them look dumb, which they have done on their own. And then she took my video and edited it and put me in a bunch of Nazi symbols around my head and stuff. And then they put it in basic cable. So this is the kind of stuff we get from the left, right? And they've Googled me. They know full well that I'm in a mixed-race marriage, and I know I qualify for what they're painting me as. It's dishonest, and it's a matter of personality, but it does tend to lead them to the left wing. Now, I don't have a problem with your normal, everyday liberal or Democratic voter. But the hard left that you find at the universities, I've had a uniformly bad experience.
Have you been able to speak in class freely?
It falls on deaf ears mostly. I mean, who are we looking at here? A lot of rich 19-year-olds from California who have been thoroughly indoctrinated by their teachers. But, you know, there's a few. And, as I said, people seek me out and say, man, I'm glad you said that. Well, thanks. Maybe you say it next time.
Mm-hmm. Is there any, like, strategy for putting your ideas, inserting your ideas in classrooms or anything like that?
Yeah, sure. I recently started a chapter of YAF, Young Americans for Freedom. So, you know, that's a conservative activist organization. We're going to try to get some conservative speakers to the school because, to my knowledge, there never has been one at UH, and they've had the most far-left people you can think of. You know, we're organizing in Hawaii a little bit. We'd like to have a conservative voice here. Oh, I knew Trump was going to win for quite a while before he did. I was not surprised on election night when he won. I made a good bit of money, actually. I placed some bets. But as far as Hawaii goes, yeah, when you got out there and actually talked to people, they were first amazed that you existed, and then they would tell you, yeah, I support it. Now, they may not be telling their friends and family this because there's a tradition of voting Democratic. It can cause strain, sure. I think it has a lot to do with the unions and actual political beliefs, but that's just my guess. Honestly, Reagan won Hawaii for his second term, and I would very much like, and I do think it's possible for Trump to win Hawaii in his second term, especially with this tax plan.
You think the tax plan's good for Hawaii?
Oh, I think it's good for everybody. I mean, people are going to legitimately see more money in their paychecks in 2018. That's a very powerful thing. And remember, that's what Reagan did when he won every state except one.
Well, 5 years later, we won't have that amount of money in our paychecks, though.
Yeah. You know, 5 years is a while from now. I think that with the economy rising, it's probably a pretty decent time to cut taxes. But we'll see where the conservative wisdom goes on this, as time will tell you. I'm happy so far.
It sounds like trickle down again, though.
Trickle down?
That didn't work.
I think if we can fix our massive illegal immigration problem, that's trickle up.
Help me understand this. Immigration is a drain on the country, you think?
Yeah.
How so?
Illegal immigration.
Illegal immigration.
Who do you think this impacts? This impacts the working class. If you are in Los Angeles and you want to work in a kitchen, do you think you can do that if you don't speak Spanish? No, right? So people are amazed. Oh, why is the black unemployment so high in L.A.? Well, maybe because a lot of those jobs that black folks had are now taken by illegal immigrants, yeah? So this is the working class that benefits from enforcing the laws we already have. That works for everybody. It's not white folks that benefit first, really. Legal Hispanics will tell you this. They're in more direct competition for these jobs that everyone says Americans won't do. And plenty of white folks do them, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's more poor white people in this country than any other kind of poor by demographics.
Really?
Well, really, yes. That's math. It's a 70% white country, huh?
Not all of them have money.
We're not all, you know, shopping for boats, huh?
I'm not sure the U.S. is 70% white anymore.
Yeah, around that, 68, 70, whatever it is. It's a majority white country, and plenty of them don't have all the money and privilege in the world. And plenty of them get upset when they get told over and over, right, that their white privilege has gotten them everything. And they look around, oh, we don't have everything. We're not dumb.
So you think ultimately, by fixing the drain of illegal immigration?
Mm-hmm. I think it's a big factor, yeah. And we're going to return the manufacturing base to America. Why not? Free trade deals, immigration, all the stuff that the working man will really benefit from. That's what Trump talks about and has started to get done. Yes.
Sorry, I really got to think about this because, you know, I work at freaking public radio. You know what I mean?
Of course, yeah. No, I understand. I think about this stuff a lot. I
So I really have to examine and I really, really want to understand, like, how the world would work by your worldview. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's pretty simple.
Do you think that Hawaii has any particular opportunities for this kind of for your kind of beliefs?
Oh, I hope so. I think there's, I think there's a ton of people that live in Hawaii who are absolutely proud to be Americans. There is an anti-Americanism that's present here. That's unfortunate, but that's a minority. It's a small minority.
And Western values in Hawaii.
Western values, absolutely. They work for everybody.
And they revolve around, those values are?
Well, according to the Proud Boys, we like entrepreneurs. We venerate the housewife. We think that's important for a strong family. And we say self-improvement is key. You wake up every morning and try to be better than you were.
Oh, how do you do that?
I guess that depends on you.
Uh-huh. Are there other groups like Proud Boys in the community here?
Not that I've met.
Huh. And yet your chapter has even received national attention. We were just talking about that. The Proud Boy of the Week.
He's a good man.
Yeah? Uh-huh. And he happened to be out after a Friday meeting, right?
Yeah, actually.
Uh-huh. Do you how often do you meet?
We have an official meeting about once a month. We meet more often than that.
Uh-huh. And what do you do?
Well, official meetings are, you know, super top secret. But I can explain to you the 4 degrees of our organization.
Oh, would you?
Okay. So the first degree is to declare yourself a proud Western chauvinist. That's all that's required to be a Proud Boy. You never have to go beyond this, right? Okay. The second degree is meant to build camaraderie and discipline, and that's the 5 serials.
What's that?
Oh, you haven't read about this. This is when you choose 5 other Proud Boys to hit you as hard and as much as they can until you can name 5 breakfast cereals. And that takes as long as it takes for you to name 5 cereals, at which point you're a second degree.
Are there privileges for a second degree?
No, you don't get anything. You're except just second degree.
Okay.
Now, I'm not a Mason, but it's sort of inspired by that. I know they have different degrees in their organization. I don't know how many.
Third degree.
The third degree is that you get a tattoo that says Proud Boy somewhere in your body. And that's to say that you really value this organization and the men in it and anybody else who is third degree, you value like you would your own brother.
Is there an initiation or anything?
Well, you can get your tattoo anywhere.
It's the tattoo. Is it? Oh, yeah.
And then the fourth degree is the one that gets much maligned in the media, and that is if you were to get in a fight or have to spend a night in jail in defense of the cause, then you're a fourth degree. Now, that's to say if you're out at a rally and the leftists are there, and there are many who openly want to hurt us, to use violence against us, right? Antifa, most famously. We don't get along. You're allowed to defend yourself. That's fourth degree. You are not allowed to start a fight in search of a fourth degree. You won't get one.
Oh, so it's if you're involved in violence for the cause.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say involved in violence. We're not going to go burn down a church or anything. But if you have to get in a street fight, right, because someone attacks you, and this happens to us, then that's your consolation prize.
Did anyone get one of those out of Charlottesville?
Well, none of us were in Charlottesville.
Oh, I thought one of the organizers was a Proud Boy.
No, his name is Jason Kessler. That's who you're referring to. Not a Proud Boy. He twice tried to join the organization by lying about his beliefs and was twice kicked out before Charlottesville. This event, we also totally denounced before it happened. And it was billed not as a neo-Nazi festival or anything like that. It was called Unite the Right, which is that the spectrum of right-wing beliefs should show up and have their little rally. Now, the Proud Boys immediately sniffed this out as nothing to be involved in and said, don't go. This is all in writing. And to hear Charlottesville be associated with the Proud Boys is just so eternally irritating to me, but it keeps happening. No, it wasn't us. We called it out before, and we didn't go.
What was it about it that made you know it wasn't a Proud Boys thing?
Well, they started listing who was coming, and there were some very unsavory groups on there.
Oh, you would consider what? Nazi?
Some damn Nazis. Look, there's probably the same number of Nazis in this country there's always been. I'd say likely a couple thousand. So they get a lot more media attention these days, right? It's an easy story to sell. It gets clicks online. But they're not a political force. Nazis are not changing the vote on anything. They're an irrelevancy. It's ridiculous. And we're not part of them.
Yeah, so how do you see yourself? I mean, how do you see Proud Boys? Where are they positioning themselves?
The Proud Boys are what you would call the new right, or to make it simpler to understand, the alt-light, right? We don't have any of these unsavory beliefs that people would love to tag us with. We've openly denounced it. And yes, the proof is in the membership. If we are trying to be racially pure, we're pretty bad at it.
Yeah. You know, I saw some posts, though, on 4chan involving local, you know, local people who were involved in a chat room that did sound really anti-Jewish.
Okay.
That would not be one of the beliefs of
absolutely
Proud
not.
Boys.
No, we're honestly, Jews, okay, great, cool. And we're pro-Israel, which is another reason that the alt-right has zero patience for us. Judeo-Christian, that's pretty Western. We're all about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you are in favor of diversity and inclusion as well?
Yeah, sure. I don't think forced diversity or quotas are worth anything. If you want to show up and be part of this organization, you're not getting any special attention because you're some shade of brown. Just declare yourself Western chauvinist, and we don't care beyond that. If it was all white folks that showed up, we wouldn't feel bad about it, I guess. It's not going to be. This is Hawaii. There's not that many white folks. We ran out.
So I'm thinking, okay, how would I know if I was the Western chauvinist? I mean, I was brought up in the West. Everything I think is, like, from the West. I don't know.
Yeah, see, in my opinion, you probably are, and you just don't realize it. Your whole life you benefited from the West, as does everyone around here, and especially the leftist activists who declare that Hawaii is actually not a state and we don't need America and all this. Well, that's interesting, but everything about your life is determined, and you benefit from America, and they don't seem too quick to throw any of the good things away.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, to me, Western values are, from the Enlightenment, are humanistic values like, you know, helping people from when other countries suffer, you know, maybe natural disasters or something, helping them by allowing them to immigrate and so on, alleviate the suffering. That all is of a piece to me.
Sure, you know, it's good to be charitable, do what you can. However, if you do want to talk about immigration in relation to Western values specifically, part of immigration has always been assimilation. Or if you're talking about refugees, return, right? This is fair to say, and throughout history, until the current year, and we start talking about, oh my, how can we ask someone to go back to their country? It's pretty easy. It's their country. We all have one.
What do you think about assimilation?
I would not go to Mexico and wave an American flag in the street and declare my intention to stay. Yet we see this weekly, if not daily, in California, right? Assimilation seems easy to me. This is a great country. Like, it's really pretty good. You can make it, I swear. So if you come here, at least be enthusiastic. Even if you don't have a college education and a bunch of money in the bank that would make you on paper, you know, a prime suspect for easy citizenship. If you really want to be an American and you really want to be part of what this is, well, that's good enough for me. I am a softy on immigration. But when you come here and you say, I'm not a citizen, I have no intention of leaving, and this is a human rights issue, that's insane. If you're talking about people who came to America when Ireland ran out of potatoes suddenly, what did they come here and get? No social benefits. They were lucky if they had family members, right? They had to come here and make it. They weren't especially liked either. But they came, they assimilated, and you're right, they helped make the country what it is. And if Ireland ran out of potatoes again and wanted to come here in mass numbers, I would hold them to the same standards as anybody else, right? And if they didn't bring anything with them except, you know, the social benefits they would get, well, that's not good enough. But we didn't used to supply these things. You can look at immigration patterns. It's not hard to find. When the situation in Syria deteriorated so much that hundreds of thousands of people left, they didn't cross one border. They crossed several, a dozen or so, and ended up mostly in Northern Europe. Why is that? That they moved to a place they had culturally nothing in common? Social benefits.
And that's why sort of xenophobic movements have really blossomed there.
Well, that's not the whole picture. I mean, there have been a lot of problems, yes. Statistics on terrorism are absolutely horrifying if you want to look at demographic information. Native Swedish people aren't blowing a lot of things up. Their new visitors, a bit more enthusiastic about that.
You know, you bring up Syria. Environmentalists say we have that problem because of climate change, because there was a drought. And it caused all these people to migrate.
Yeah,
you know?
No, I think it's got more to do with the Civil War, and that's Middle Eastern politics. But
so we're out of the climate agreement. You agree with that as well?
Oh, yeah. That was good to see. I believe in global warming. I believe that the climate has measurably warmed over the last 100 years, right? I think over the 1,000-year period, it's really not so extreme. I'm not a global warming alarmist. I don't think that we're in danger of these world wars or extinction or, you know, icebergs melting
or
in your
extreme
yard.
Weather.
Right.
You
I,
don't.
I don't. I think it's completely overstated. I don't think it's an accurate statistic that 97% of all scientists believe in global warming. I think 97% of guys that go to college and want to save the world as a climate scientist, I believe they believe in global warming. But as far as people in lab coats that mix chemicals together in some company somewhere, it's probably about the same 60% of everybody else that believes in global warming. Make sense?
So what do you think is going on? It's just by chance that these more extreme weather phenomena?
I think it's well within the natural range of things. Now, if you want to buy a Prius and feel good about helping the environment, then you know what? I'll give you a high five. It's not my thing, but every time the volcano makes a noise in the big island, it's erased your progress.
It's a what?
It's erased your progress. Your carbon footprint is done.
Is there anything you can think of, Nick, that would help me further understand? I mean, I still don't exactly know what a Western chauvinist would be or what the Western values are that you're really talking about. I just feel like there have been so many great ideas that led to a liberal way of looking at life, and all of that has led you to a completely other place, and I'm just not sure I know where exactly that is.
Let me give you the quick rundown of some of the things we like or believe in. Yeah.
Okay.
Minimal government, libertarian types, maximum freedom, which I think we achieve. We're anti-feminist. We are anti-PC, political correctness. We're against the drug war. We don't like pornography. And closed borders, it's a big thing with us. We're anti-racial guilt, and we're anti-racist. Right? Free speech, because that's definitely under attack in our country. We're very pro-gun. And as I said before, we glorify the entrepreneur and venerate the housewife.
Does your wife have a job?
She recently got a job, yes. The insurance is going to be helpful. We're looking at some Western babies.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But it's something we work toward, that your wife shouldn't have to work. Now, we understand that you can't always make it. Most people both have to work, yeah?
In Hawaii.
In Hawaii and anywhere, but Hawaii especially. I mean, my God.
Mm-hmm. Anti-feminist. I'm just trying to go back.
Sure.
There's some other ones there. Yeah. Okay. Anti-drug war.
Oh, absolutely.
How so?
Well, it's been a uniform failure, and that's not really so controversial to say amongst the right anymore. This isn't baby boomer, George Bush fan right-wing politics. We don't want to lock you up for a joint.
You're kind of not with the Trump administration on this, huh?
No, not really. Trump doesn't seem to particularly like weed. I don't think it's a major focus like it may have been during the Reagan years. People who like weed can be very enthusiastic about it and make all their politics about it. I have nothing against marijuana. Marijuana's fans can be irritating to me. But as far as the Proud Boys go, yeah, we say end the drug war. It's a massive waste of money. You use drugs to mess up your own life, or if you handle them just fine, that's your business.
It's kind of a libertarian view, I guess.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's why we're not alt-right. We're on the libertarian side of things.
Anti-pornography?
Yes.
What about free speech there?
We're not saying ban it from the internet. We're saying abstain from it if you're a man.
Why?
What's the use of pornography? That's energy you should either be putting in to loving your woman, or if you don't have someone, then you should be out there finding a woman, then staying in on a Friday night and seeing to your own needs. There's nothing proud about that.
Anti-racial guilt, I think I get that. Anti-racism. Pro-gun rights.
Yep, we would like to see everybody get a gun.
Oh, yeah?
Give them a gun.
You think we'd be safer?
Oh, yeah. I think it's a sort of seems to be an especially popular idea in Hawaii, which is the most restricted state by far for gun rights. In this state, if you own a gun, which is hard enough to do, period, next to impossible, actually, you're only allowed to take it to and from the gun range in the trunk of your car and not stop for gas or groceries. That's insane. That's taking away a man's right to defend himself.
So none of these shootings, mass shootings, impact that belief at all?
No. Mass shootings are such a statistically insignificant factor in the way you might die. It does not play into taking away everyone's guns in the name of safety or anything else. Now, you may have to defend yourself at some point in your life from a robbery or home invasion or, Lord knows, a dog attack or anything else where a gun may prove useful. A mass shooter probably won't get you.
You know, can you tell me, Nick, I mean, did you participate at all in those 4chan, those chat groups that did talk about, I guess, a Jewish professor in a really derogatory way?
No.
You wouldn't, or?
No, absolutely not.
Would Proud Boys use racial slurs?
No, and none of my guys did.
Hmm. If you were, look at Hawaii the way it is. You've been here 5 years. You've looked at it. You're going to be a journalist, so,
right.
You know, that requires a little perspective. I assume you've applied some of that to how we're operating here. Do you have any worries specifically for Hawaii? Here,
I'm just
going to
make sure that... Okay, we're going good here.
Right. Yeah. Where is for Hawaii? I mean, it's the most leftist state. We have no Republican representation in government, so that's a definite worry. It's not great for your taxes. I mean, you can walk around this city. The beaches do look as good as the postcard, yeah. And then you step in and you see that every single public park has been overrun by homeless people living in it. And the activists here say, no, they're not homeless, they're houseless. Which I have to agree. They've built homes. In every park, you'll see the sign that says you must vacate after 10 o'clock, and there's usually a tent strapped to it. So, these are the worries after Hawaii, and I do not think it's a separate thing from having a very liberal government.
So you've got your work cut out for you here?
Yeah, as far as getting Republicans elected. But that's not our focus. We're a social club. The Republicans here in Hawaii, I hope they can ride the Trump wave and get a few people in office.
Mm-hmm. You guys aren't like a social club. Do you have work here to do?
No. We don't have work. We don't have to fix this place. I think we provide an example of people that enjoy themselves and maybe an environment that doesn't appreciate right-wing thought, but well, that's something. We don't have these terribly high aspirations. This is a drinking club. We really enjoy ourselves.
So, your goal would be to change things even in the atmosphere on campus or at UH?
No, it's not the Proud Boys' goal. I mean, I would like to see that personally. The Proud Boys are an alternative to that kind of culture.
I think you can find more, it might be a good recruitment. you see a lot of recruiting prospects up there?
Yeah, I don't... We grow, honestly, fast enough that I don't have to spend too much time recruiting these days. But if you're interested, I can be found. And, we'll talk.
You're not getting harassed, are you, by leftists?
Oh, of course I am, yes. Are you kidding?
Oh, you are?
Yeah. They've spread so much terrible stuff about us. One time we were having a meeting in a bar and had a closed room, and there were some girls that recognized us by our polo shirts that we all wear, yeah?
Oh, really? Are you wearing it now?
This is what we wear. It's a black and yellow Fred Perry. Makes us recognizable. Anyway, so when you see a bunch of dudes with this on, you see some kind of club or something. Yeah. Anyway, a couple of these girls, overweight, short-haired women that we would call SJWs, identified us as Proud Boys.
SJWs?
Social Justice Warriors. They're a very specific type of person. The type who would know who we are. And they told all the men that were around them that there was some horrible, deranged group of racists meeting in that room and that they should go start a fight with us. Which is exactly what happened. They busted down the door and said, let's go right now. And then they saw that this wasn't a group of white people, first of all. I mean, that's pretty apparent. And I had some words with them. And, in a couple of minutes they'd offer to buy us shots. But the leftists spread the information about us that will at least a bad things. They go after jobs first, without even knowing who we are. They try to find employers, right?
You mean people who are employing Proud Boys?
Yeah, of course. Or anyone they disagree with, but for us on this island, we're the only, right-wingers they can identify, so they try to get us fired right off the bat.
Oh.
People that are against me politically, the furthest left, I would never go after a job or a car or a break up a family or something like that. It's just low. It's dishonorable. But this is what we deal with, and it's a real concern. That's why people don't wish to be seen as right-wing in places like the college. It will impact your life. They make it quite clear.
Do you feel a chill in classrooms as well?
Depends which class, but yeah.
Huh. Is there any Would there be any benefit to kind of instigating in the classroom, you know, to kind of just providing a, maybe just nudging a little or causing a disruption?
I would never disrupt. That's stupid. People will disrupt speakers they don't like. That's typically a leftist thing again. No, these people are going to teach anti-American things in these classes. I know that. And people will pay a lot of money to hear it, which is astounding to me. No, as I said, we support freedom of speech. But there's a better way to be, and we like to represent that.
I guess people who might like to, silence alt-right people feel like there's a difference between that all speech can't be free. I mean, they feel like constructive speech or speech that leads to a better society
only
can
their
be free.
Kind of speech. The current thought that is going around the college, and this is what they'll use to justify you not being allowed to think or say anything, is that your speech is violence. You can wrap your head around that one, but
I guess if it espouses exclusion or,
yeah. But what's their definition of exclusion? I say simple thing is like, if you're not a citizen of the country and you're not trying to become a citizen of the country, I'm not going to consider you an American. Is that exclusionary? No, you're not legally an American. There's a difference. I would get corrected in papers I write because I would use the term illegal immigrant, and I was supposed to use the term undocumented immigrant, right? But they're not undocumented. These people have a whole pile of documents. They have their equivalent of a Social Security number in their own country most of the time. If they go to UH, which there are illegals that do, then there's no end to documentation, right? But they call them undocumented. No, that's not what they are. They're living illegally in another country.
Do you think that right-wing thought is being expressed more in the classrooms at UH?
Not yet. No, that I don't know. I know of two right-wing professors, but I don't think they'd... I know they can't openly. No.
There have been a couple of instances of swastikas on the campus.
Really?
Yeah, spray-painted and so on. I mean, do you know anything about those?
I absolutely have not heard that. I've never met a Nazi in Hawaii. That would be weird. There have been an absolute abundance of fake hate crimes since this whole hysteria about Trump has come to light. And were I to guess, it'd be a leftist who would like to have a bit of drama, something to complain about. I know the right-wing people in Hawaii, so... Yeah, that's... If there was a Nazi group here, that'd be a real surprise to me. When you meet the actual alt-right, they're not shy about who they are. They've made a pretty extreme life choice.
And you don't feel like you've done that?
No, I'm almost boring in my politics. I don't think I've said anything too controversial tonight, even.
Can't think of anything else, Nick. And I just want to thank you for your time and patience.
Well, thank you so much.
Can you think of anything else? I really want to give you the time and space. And
No, if you believe the West is the best, and you're not...
also an anti-feminist.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And you're also
right.
Pro-housewife and...
Yeah, yeah. And again, these are not anything you have to believe in. The only thing you have to believe in is the West is the best, but it comes to the territory, yeah. I think so.
Do you ever use any symbols for your group?
We don't have
any symbols?
I guess the closest thing is we have a rooster, a cock, on the flag. I don't know why.
I mean, but Pepe the Frog and all that.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah, Pepe is... A known image format, a meme.
What am I supposed to know when I see Pepe?
Pepe, nothing, really. It's a face of... Well, let me explain to the listeners who aren't on the internet all the time. Pepe the Frog is a cartoon of a frog that's used a lot in right-wing say memes or art propaganda or trolling leftists a lot. It's very useful for that. Hmm. Because they tend to get upset about a frog, and that's sort of endlessly hilarious to us.
Well, I'm just wondering, what does it stand for? What?
Nothing is a frog. It's whatever is going on in the image, right?
I know.
Well, I think the one we use for Hawaii is a Pepe with palm trees in the background. He's got sunglasses on and a Make America Great Again hat. I think I've used that several times. Why? That's some hilarious little artwork. It works.
I mean, but he stands for something, right?
No. Not at all.
Oh, he's just like a cute frog? Yeah. Like Hello Kitty?
Sure. If you wanted to put Hello Kitty into some sort of right-wing meme and you use it effectively, then, yeah, I mean, go for it. Pepe is generally used. He's certainly associated with Trump, I would say. And around the election, he got more popular as reacting to Trump things, right? He works on that level. It just works.
I mean, just like approving of Trump things?
Yeah, generally. Pepe is usually sad. There's no inherent meaning to any of this. It's the internet.
Hmm. Seems like a lot of people find a lot of meaning in it.
Oh, yeah, leftists do. Leftists assign all kinds of meaning to Pepe. The right knows this fully and enjoys messing with their heads. And that's what we're doing with the frog.
And there's no symbol like that for a Proud Boy, so?
I don't think so. Well, no, I think I've seen a Pepe in a Proud Boy's shirt. I've used that one. It's a good one.
Uh-huh. What kind of shirt was that?
That's a Fred Perry polo shirt. It's an English brand of clothes. It's a bit expensive, which would have chose a cheaper shirt, but they look good. And
they do.
We like to present ourselves.
Can I take a picture of you?
Of course.